Good morning, everybody. Happy birthday, belated birthday to you, Ricky, online. I think it was Friday was his birthday. He's got turned, he's in his 50s now? 50-something, what? I could be wrong, but I thought it was up there. I don't know. And then we got a birthday today. Paul. And I'm so happy he made it 72. Really pleased about that. I give him a cheer. That's a long time, man. let me stop. I'm gonna get it after all that. I'm telling you. Well, good morning, everybody. I talked about going into Romans 8 this week. We were in Romans 7 a little bit last week. I thought about going to Romans 8. And I was reading in the scripture this morning. I was actually reading in Isaiah. And not that I... something came to mind when I was reading Isaiah. First time's always a charm. First time something coming into my mind. Oh, boy. I don't know if that was even me. So, I mean, you know... Anyways, I digress. But one of the things is that what came to my mind in reading Isaiah is, you know, here the Lord has a promise and a plan for everybody to partake of. I mean, a way out into eternal life, away from being connected to this flesh, a way of perfect liberty in Him. And being what we are created to be, in a sense of we're meant to serve Him. That was the purpose of us before the curse, right? Amen. Everything's were made by Him and for Him, right? That's what we were made to be. But then we had the curse, which is at enmity with God, absolute enmity with God. That came about. And we don't have a choice in the matter. When we're born in this world, as soon as we come out of the womb, we're cut off from that spirit and we are just bound to the flesh. Bound to the flesh. But the Lord came down and made a way for us to be reconnected back to that spirit again. And to be free from the flesh. And to have eternal life with Him. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. We still got one thing against us. Well, I wouldn't say against us. It actually can be for us. But anyways, we got one thing. And that is free will. I mean, the Lord promised something. The Lord has a plan. But it's up to us to choose to get on that thing. It really is. It comes down to our choice. Whether we're going to get on His plan, whether we're going to be in Him, whether we're going to follow after the Spirit or after the flesh. He gave us that freedom. And the Lord has nothing but good things for us. And has touched us with His grace and His mercy over and over and over again. We don't have to die in our sins and go to hell. But the bottom line comes down to choice. And I was looking at Isaiah and I was looking at the mercifulness of the Lord in the midst while I was reading Isaiah. And I mean, here's the Lord that has already finished it, has already done the work, has already completed it. And He has a promise for us, just waiting there for us. It's up to us to grab it. And I was looking at the mercy of that. Doesn't matter how bad you have been, or how good you've been, i.e. in your mind, you get what I'm saying? It doesn't matter any of those things. the redemption of the Lord is there. It's already there. And I was looking at that and I'm saying, that is precious. That is a loving Father if we would just but elect Him as ours, Father. But it's our choice to elect Him as our Lord. It's our choice to elect Him as our Father. And He's given us freedom from this flesh. We don't have to listen to it anymore. So let's go to Romans 8. I was reading that this morning. I really, for me, could just stop there, but not. And I stopped at Romans 8 and verse 1. And I don't even think I went all the way through that whole verse. But the whole point I was talking about, we don't have to be strapped to that dead man anymore. We don't have to live under the flesh anymore. We don't have to live under that curse anymore. And with our mind, we serve the law of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And right there it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus. That means that's the only place in Christ Jesus that there is no condemnation. Because He was perfect. He was perfect. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But those are those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what He's given us to follow after now. Talk about if the husband be dead, he's loosed from that law. Guess what? Jesus Christ the righteous filled that law. We're no more under that anymore. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once again, you got that choice. You know, He condemned sin in the flesh. That means He came down and He fulfilled that law. He put it down. He defeated it. Death has no more victory. He suffered that second death for us so we wouldn't have to. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look, this carnal thing has to be laid down. It's at war with God all the time. It won't come in league with the Spirit. It won't come in league with God's will. It won't do that. And there's a lot of times the snare that I get caught up in so many times, I don't know if you guys do, is trying to feel good about serving the Lord. Trying to get your flesh to agree with the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. And this carnal mind, it's a tricky son of a gun. You know, the scripture says, trust in the Lord and lean not on thine own understanding. You know how many times I go into a situation so many times and fail because what I'm doing is not leaning on trusting the Lord. I'm leaning on my own understanding. You know, work, home, ministry, whatever it may be, I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, man, what a freaking mess. And how in the freaking world I'm making it more of a mess. My gosh. Lord, how am I helpful at all? I mean, I'm looking at this, I'm like adding to the mess. I'm not even, you know, I'm supposed to be a minister to you, Lord, but I'm just making a more mess. I just need to get it freak out the way. You know how many times people fell that way? I know I have. But it says, lean not on thine own understanding. So that's something in action that I'm to put off, to put down. Or the flesh, put off that carnal mind. Right? Because the mind on understanding gets me in so much trouble, it's not even funny. But I need to trust in the grace of God in the midst of all this. What the Lord is able to do in all this, not what I'm able to do, I have nothing. My righteousness is as filthy rags. I have nothing to offer. Except Jesus in His grace. That's what it's about. And I have seen the grace of the Lord work in my life. So that is something I can offer. Is how good the Lord is. And I've seen that in action not too long ago. When I was at work, I was going into work and I just seen a mess. I seen me not managing right. I'm the worst manager ever. I don't understand why they even have me here. Oh my gosh. This is too much for me. Lord, why you didn't? And it was very clear. Keep going forward in that, Philip. That's where the Lord would have you be at. I don't get it, Lord. I don't know why. You know what? Don't lean on that. Lean on the grace of God. Because in the midst of that, what He was showing me is that His grace covered all my mistakes as I went forward. As I went forward. And I learned things through that whole process. And His grace was making that shop operate in a manner that was really awesome. And yet by my own understanding, did not see it. Wouldn't allow me to see it. But He was good. He was good in the midst of that. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And you know, how many times do we offer up or think we're justified by what we have done? Or how many times, and that's really trying to please God in the flesh, is that works righteousness. That's what the Pharisees did. Well, we keep the law. Moses' law said this, and we keep it. But how many, we don't have that law now, but how many, but I'm good. I do good things. I have done this. I have done that. I have done this. And it's all just vanity. And it's all out of pride. It's all about you looking good. It's like people trying to aspire to be like the Galatians. And how many times do we bank on that? Man, that is not your saving grace. It's what Jesus Christ fulfilled that you could not. Absolutely could not. And that thing is not going to please God. But faith in Him will. Faith in what He is able to do. Faith in what He has already done. Faith in Him pleases God. Now, you remember, we can take it back to Joshua and Caleb once again. I just love those two. I seem to always refer to them. But that land is for our taking. It is good. All the rest come back with, they are giants. They're going to destroy us. And they weren't acting presumptuously. That thing was promised to them. That was promised to Abraham years ago before they even existed. So it was a promise of God. And they, by faith, them too, and the second generation, took it. And how did they take it? They didn't take it by their strength or by their force or how many people they had. No, they walked around and shouted at the walls. And the hand of God came down and took it, destroyed it, give it to them. That pleased God. You know why that pleased God? Because those were the only two of that generation that entered in. They got onto the promise of God by believing His promise and walking that out. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. I want the Spirit of Christ. I don't want to be none of His. What does Colossians say? Set your affections on things that are above, not on things of this earth. So what are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to our own understanding? Are you going to listen to that doubt? Are you going to listen to that spirit of fear? It's our choice. That soul in us makes that choice. And you have the flesh on one side to doubt, fear, worry, unbelief, works, righteousness, whatever it may be. They have the Spirit, which is life, under Christ Jesus. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, His righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That mortify is an action. That, what does that mortify mean? That means to kill. Put to death. How do you kill a thing?
Starve it.
Starve it. You starve it. Says the Spirit is life. Says the flesh is, you listen to that, you'll die. We have two choices. You know, what side are we going to be on? Do we feed that doubt? Do we feed that unbelief? Do we feed that we think we know it better than what our authority has given us or what the Lord has given us to believe? What do we feed? You feed that, it's going to grow stronger. It's going to overwhelm you. It's going to overtake you, and you'll die. But Jesus has given us that spirit to triumph over that. He just didn't cut you off from the freedom of the flesh, but He gave you a spirit to overcome it. So let's starve that carnal mind. Let's be what we're originally created for. That's to serve Him. To do Thy will, O God. That's all we need to come to Him in the morning. Lord, I'm not worthy. And I have nothing to offer. But You are worthy. And You've given me life. Not Thy will be done, not my will be done, but Thy will be done today, Lord. And we really just need to start off that day, every day like that. And anything that comes before that, let's starve it. It was something that David gave me, an interesting tool. I mean, a lot of us going, well, how do you do that? Right? And you know, I mean, what David gave me was years ago. I mean, you starve a thing. How do you starve a thing? Your flesh wants to go do this? Go do the opposite. Go do the opposite. Man, I just want to go home, and I don't really want to fellowship with anybody. I just want to go sit in my own room in my quiet place all by myself. Or, you know, I really don't feel like fellowship. I really don't feel like dealing with these people. I really, really, really don't. But you know what? I'm going to go do it anyways because it's good for me. And shut up, flesh. It ain't about what you want. It's about what the Lord wants. I don't know if I really want to tell that person about Jesus. I don't know what he's going to think of me. I don't care. Lord's been good to me. And if somebody doesn't, nobody tells him, he's not going to know. So I better go over there and tell him. Better give him the same opportunity I had. Because I ain't nothing special. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. The Lord's good. It comes down as this, man. I tell you what, this week has not been, it's been a good week, but it's been a fight. And it's been a fight. And my own understanding can just absolutely freaking overwhelm me and just overcome me if I give it an inch of space. And it does at times. But it comes down to, if I'm going to believe His Word. Brad was sharing up here the other day, take no thought for thyself. Or take no thought for the tomorrow take thoughts of the things of itself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things should, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Am I going to do what the Bible tells me to do? Or am I going to do my own thing? And it comes down to this, man. This thing up here wants to kill and destroy me. That's the carnal mind. It wants me to, it's cursed, it's going to hell, or it's going back to the ground, it's dying. And it wants to take my soul with it. It really does. So am I going to believe the Word of God, or am I going to believe this thing that's trying to kill me? It comes down to choice. And the Lord has set a promise, a redeemed life in front of anybody who would receive it. That's how good He is. And it would be absolutely just stupid and ignorant of us not to take it. And I've seen the redemption of the Lord time and time and time again. And He is good. He is good. Man, and for him to set that out for anybody, serial killers, murderers, rapists, he set that out. I mean, you take Osama bin Laden, if he turned and repented unto the Lord, he can be saved. That's how good the Lord is. We all fall short of the glory of God. But he hasn't left us there. And which side of the fence are we going to be on? Are we going to be in him with no condemnation? In him? Or are we going to be outside? Or you're just open game to be destroyed? Choice is up to us. And that's it.
Thank you, buddy. There are a lot of things that strike me in what Philip was preaching up here. I'm going to try and shave them down into the top two or three, maybe, if I get that far. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does the word say? About that, let me go over to John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believeth on him is not condemned, but he who believeth not is condemned already. There's a frequent charge leveled against, you know, good old church-going, Bible-thumping people that they're condemnation. They're always condemning me. You can't condemn somebody that's already condemned. And we don't have the power to do it anyway. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They liked it that way. Now, where there are intersections between what I had in my mind and what Philip had, and they kind of intersect in Romans, a couple chapters later, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What happens to a sacrifice? Yeah. Sacrifice is put to death if it's a lamb. And Philip was standing up here with mortify the deeds of the flesh. Well, that comes out of Colossians. All things were created for him and by him. That comes out of Colossians. This is only mysterious if you want to make it mysterious. There's nothing mysterious about this. And it's reasonable. The next verse is the linchpin in the process. Be not conformed to this world, a choice, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That your choice is to have your mind renewed, and that process unfolding in front of everybody that you have relations with, everyone you run across. When that's happening in you, then it is proving what the will of God is. Because it's unfolding before their eyes. first time I ever went through the Beatitudes is kind of overwhelming. I said, that might be his attitude. It is not mine. You know, and that's a hard thing to receive. The more time I spend time in there, I'm understanding that Jesus is revealing how, as Romans 12:2 is unfolding in your life, it reveals the accuracy of what being hid with Christ in God is. You can do these things. It is not our nature. Our nature is, well, let's start with, because we're going back to Beatitudes. I'm sorry, I'm getting like Ricky now. Worse things could be said. Let's start with Matthew 5:37. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever more than these cometh of evil. No, just mean what you say and say what you mean. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Let me just stop for a moment on the communications. Our communications today. I was listening to a sportscaster do a football game yesterday. He was all over him. Really? He wasn't all over him. He was defending pretty well, but if he had been all over him, it would have been a penalty. It was a good defensive play. It didn't work. He didn't mean what he said. And we do that all the time. That would be an example of it, except that we do it all the time. You don't even think about it. If you're doing an English lit project, then you might like to embellish the truth a little bit and make it look interesting for the reader. But listen, when you're communicating life and death and the truth of the gospel, it needs to be simple. It is simple. Don't complicate it with stuff that's just not there. And these people he's talking to are the keepers of the law, the keepers of the faith. They're the ones that has been entrusted to reveal the Father to. And the presumptive nature of their position is that, all right, it's going to look tough, but we can do it. And when we do it, we can pat people on the back who do it like we do. But none of it saves anybody. Because nobody's hearts change. Nobody's required to have their hearts change. Jesus is sitting here and changing the standard. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whosoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other one too also. That's not a militant, nonviolent action. It takes more than that to take me down, sir. And I choose to suffer ill, wrong, to be obedient to Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no way you can hurt me. You can kill me here. You can't hurt me. That's standing in the truth. And that's what turning the other cheek is. It's going to take more than that, buddy. I'm not going away just because you slapped me. If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That important to you? happy. You're going to need somebody to pay your lawyer for you, so not important to me. It's just a cloak. I trust the Lord. None of these things are limp-wristed, bow on your knees before these people and let them mistreat you things. There are statements that you make about your position of my trust is in the Lord. There's nothing you can do to knock me off of that. I trust the Lord. He's bigger than any of this stuff. You're not going to hit me and make me go away. You're not going to take all my things and make me go home crying like a little child. Stop laughing at me. That was very hard for me. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I'm about proving to you how good the Lord is. If it takes me going an extra mile, what's that to me? That is where that phrase came from. Go with the extra mile. What's it to me? I'm subjecting myself to the Lord that my mind may be transformed and renewed. Then, and the process looks like this. Then I'm all for it. Let's go. And it's fixing to get a little more personal. Give to them that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Pretty much. That is our natural position. It's our natural condition. Nothing tough about that one. That was the Pharisees' position. Pretty easy to enforce. Nice to your neighbors. Not nice to everybody else. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Can we go back to that extra mile? That really starting to sound a lot easier to do. This is not something you can do if you're given to carnality, if your mind is not being renewed, if you're not submitting yourself to be hid with Christ and God. The only way you can do this is by submitting yourself to the Lord for His renewal, regeneration. Submitting yourself to the light. Having your deeds be approved of. And it doesn't say, it says, I say you love your enemies. All right. Bless them that curse you. Yeah, okay. Listen, I don't. That's not my natural default position. It's just probably not anybody I know listening to this, that's their natural default position. Do good to them that hate you. Well, now we're getting into some place where I can be creative. There's all kinds of things that might be good for somebody who hates me that might not first occur to other people. And praying for thy enemies. No, praying for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It doesn't say what to pray. So, you know, if you're creative and you understand the mind of the Lord, these are places here where you can see prayers answered. And creative actions, I know Davey has been creative at times. And it makes an impression. It makes a point. Anybody can, if they choose to make it all about Jesus and not all about themselves, then they can seek opportunity to prove this verse is true. And that anybody can do it who will do that. If you're having your mind renewed, you're choosing not to be conformed to this world. Listen, us in the natural, we're conformed to this world. We fit. We know how to operate in it, and we're comfortable. That's not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a peculiar people who never feel at home. We're just passing through. Just passing through and trying to tell people how good the Lord is. And hope they latch on to the life and light. That you may be, the next verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. And that, the truth of that is the truth of that. There are a lot of people who benefited from his commitment to Israel. Not just the Israelites, but the mixed multitudes and the people who just chose to follow Israel out of Egypt. The nations around them benefited. When you have plugged in to be able to receive the Lord and be able to give of that bounty, whether it be knowledge or gifts or just the gospel, there are people around that will benefit whether they ever know you or not. It has a ripple effect. And his goodness is so good that they're going to be partakers of it who never choose to. It's just going to fall on them like the rain that falls on his people's crops. That's how good he is. For if you love him, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Now this is another indictment. And this is really where I was going to get to here. I'm running out of time here. If you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? It could just as easily read, do not those Gentile dogs do the same? Because that's what he's talking about. He's comparing these Pharisees to the Gentiles here. You're not doing anything different than these hated dog Gentiles. You're not special. You're not different. You don't get any reward for that. If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? The dirty dog Gentiles. But be there perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. If you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that's a choice, and you're actually receiving of the Lord and from the Lord's way and from the ministry of ministers in all of his ways, then you can be some of that rain that rains on the just and the unjust in a ministry to both those under you and those outside of the camp. And goodness will come to them whether they receive it or not. That's how good the Lord is. Well, we are out of time, and I'm about done here anyway. So, thank y'all.